Whistle, and I'll come to you. Professor Parkins was having dinner at Cambridge University the day before the spring holidays.
What are your plans for the holidays, Professor?
Asked the man next to him. I'm going to Burnstow to play golf, replied Parkins. He was a serious young man, and he wanted to learn to play better.
Do you mean Burnstow in Suffolk? Said the man.
His name was Disney, and he was a professor of archaeology.
This morning I read about an archaeological site there. If you have time, could you tell me if it looks interesting? It's north of the town, close to the beach, half a mile from the Globe Hotel.
I'm staying at the Globe, so I will look, of course, agreed Professor Parkins. Many of the hotels in Burnstow are still closed after the winter, and I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable at the Globe. I wanted a large room, and they have given me one with an extra bed. But I don't need two beds, so I'm not very happy about that. Another man was listening, and he began to laugh. He thought that Professor Parkins was too serious.
I'd like a holiday by the sea, he said with a smile. I can come after a few days and use the extra bed if you like.
Parkins did not like this idea because he wanted to be on his own, but he did not want to be rude.
That's a good idea, Mr. Rogers, but I think that you may be bored. I'm going to play golf every day.
I won't come if you don't want me to, said Rogers, laughing again. But maybe I can help to keep the ghosts out of your room.
Parkins looked angry. He thought that Mr. Rogers was rude. You know that I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't like talking about them. It's not a serious subject. But come to Burnstow later in the week, if you like. The next day, Parkins travelled to Burnstow and found the Globe Hotel. His room, with two beds, was large, and the windows looked three ways. One window looked north along the beach. One window looked south towards the town, and the middle window looked straight at the grey sea. Parkins took his clothes out of his suitcase and put them away tidily. Then he was ready to go out to play golf. He played all afternoon with another hotel guest, an older man with a red face, a big grey moustache, and a very loud voice. By the end of the afternoon, Parkins wanted to get away from Colonel Wilson.
I think that he has shouted at soldiers all his life, thought Parkins. Now I really need a quiet walk before dinner.
So Parkins decided to walk down the beach and look for Professor Disney's archaeological site. The ground was not flat at the top of the beach, and in one place he fell over a large stone under the grass. When he got up, he looked closely at the ground. He could see a lot more big stones below the grass in a large circle. "This might be Disney's site," he thought, feeling excited. He pulled away some grass and studied the stones. Then he moved some earth between two stones and found a hole in the ground below them. It was big enough to put his hand inside. "What's this?" he thought, when his fingers touched something cold and hard. He was sure that it was not a stone, so he pulled it out. It was getting dark, but he could see that the thing was metal and very old. It was about the size of his little finger. He put it safely into his coat and began to walk back. A cold wind was blowing off the sea, and the sky was getting dark quickly. There was just a little light in the west, then the dark grey sky, the empty beach, and the quiet noise of the sea. Once Parkins looked back at the site and was happy to see that he was not the only man on the beach. There was someone behind him. The person was walking quickly, but not getting any nearer. Parkins knew that it was stupid, but in this quiet and empty place, he could not stop thinking of the frightening ghost stories from his old children's books. "I must hurry, or I'll be late for dinner," he thought, and he began to run. He met Colonel Wilson for dinner, and then they played a quiet game of cards. When he went upstairs to bed, Parkins decided that he was happy with his holiday. "I will enjoy my 2 weeks here," he thought. Seeing his coat on the back of his door, Parkins suddenly remembered the little metal thing from the hole at Disney's site. He took it out, cleaned it, and looked at it closely. He could see now that it was a whistle, but it was full of earth. Being a tidy man, he pushed the earth out onto a piece of paper with his knife and carried the paper to the window. When he opened the window, he was very surprised to see someone outside on the beach. "People stay out very late here in Burnstow," Parkins thought. Then he held the whistle up to the light and cleaned it some more. Now he could see some words on it. "Quis est iste qui venit?" "That is Latin," Parkins thought. "I think it means, who is coming?" or something like that. Well, maybe the answer is to whistle for him. He put the whistle to his mouth and blew very softly. He was surprised at the noise. It was soft, but he felt that it travelled a long way. And then it made a picture in his head. He could see a long, dark beach with the wind blowing and a figure in the middle. He blew the whistle again, a little louder. Suddenly, a strong wind came through the open window. Parkins ran to the window and tried to close it, pushing against the wind. But the wind was too strong, and it felt like he was pushing against a strong man. Then, just as suddenly as before, the wind stopped and the window closed. When Parkins went to bed, he felt too nervous to sleep. Then he heard a noise. But another guest was just moving in their bed, and Parkins felt a little better, knowing that another person also could not sleep. He lay with his eyes closed, thinking of the wind and the whistle and the picture of the figure on the beach in his head. He could see the long, empty beach again, but the figure was closer. He could see that it was a man and that he was running away from something. The man looked very frightened, and every few seconds he turned and looked behind him. It was becoming harder for him to run, and he kept falling down. Now Parkins could see something light moving down the beach. Its strange white clothes were blowing in the wind. It stopped, put its arms above its head, and ran quickly across the beach towards the sea. Then it ran back up the beach, getting nearer and nearer to the man. When the frightening white figure was close behind the man, Parkins could not keep his eyes shut any longer. He sat up in bed, got out his book, and read until he fell asleep. After breakfast the next morning, a servant came to his room. "I've brought an extra blanket because it is cold," she said to Parkins. "Which bed shall I put it on?"
"Please put it on that one, of course," Parkins said, pointing at his bed. "Didn't you see earlier that I slept in that bed? You made it tidy while I was at breakfast."
"I'm sorry, Professor. I thought that you tried both beds last night. It looked like someone slept in the other bed too, so I also made that one tidy."
"Well, I'm very sorry to give you more work. Maybe I put my suitcase on the bed yesterday when I took out my clothes," Parkins explained. Then he remembered Mr. Rogers. "A friend of mine is coming from Cambridge the day after tomorrow. Is it all right if he uses the extra bed?"
"Of course, Professor," replied the servant, and she went out, leaving Parkins to get ready for golf.
He met Colonel Wilson a short while later, outside the hotel.
"Did you hear the strange wind last night?" said Colonel Wilson. "Have you heard about people whistling for the wind when they want it to blow? It sounded to me like someone whistled for the wind last night, because it came so suddenly."
I must tell you, Colonel, that I don't believe in crazy things like that, replied Parkins. If something is not possible, then I don't believe in it. I blew a whistle twice last night, and then the wind came, but... The Colonel looked at him.
You blew a whistle last night?
Yes, I found it yesterday, said Parkins. Then Parkins told the Colonel everything about the archaeological site and finding the whistle. The Colonel was very surprised.
We don't know anything about that site. There might be magic in it. I don't think that you should blow that whistle, he said. It might be dangerous.
That's crazy. I told you that I don't believe in magic, replied Parkins. They played golf together all day and then walked back to the hotel. When they got near, a young boy ran around a corner of the building, straight into the Colonel. The boy looked very frightened and began to cry.
What's the matter? Colonel Wilson asked him. What has made you afraid?
Something was waving at me from the window, cried the boy. I couldn't see it very well, but it was a horrible white figure.
Which window was it? Show me, said Colonel Wilson.
The boy took them to the front of the hotel and pointed. Then he ran away fast. That's very strange, said Parkins. That's my window. Colonel, will you come upstairs with me to look? I hope that the servants haven't been in my room while I was out. When they got to his room, Parkins looked at the beds. I thought that the servant made that bed tidy this morning. But look, the blankets and sheets are not tidy now, he said. But it doesn't matter. I'll speak to her later. Then Parkins went to get the whistle, and he showed it to Colonel Wilson.
What are you going to do with it? Asked Colonel Wilson.
When I get back to Cambridge, I'll show it to a professor of archaeology there, Parkins replied.
I think that you should throw it into the sea, said the Colonel. It might have some strange power. But I know that we'll never agree about that.
That night, the moon was bright, and when Parkins went to bed, he saw that there were no curtains at the window. It didn't matter last night because there was no moon, he thought. But I don't want the moonlight to wake me up tonight. So he used a walking stick and an umbrella to hold up a blanket in front of the window. Then he got into bed, read a few pages, and soon went to sleep. About an hour later, a terrible noise woke him up. He opened his eyes and saw the walking stick, the umbrella, and the blanket all on the floor. He saw the moon through the window. He lay for a few minutes thinking, should I get up and put the blanket back over the window? He thought. If I don't,
will I be able to sleep? Then he listened hard. Something in the other bed was moving and making a noise. Was it a cat? No, it was making too much noise for a cat. Suddenly, he saw a figure sit up in the bed. Parkins jumped out of bed and ran across the room to get his walking stick from the floor. But this was a terrible mistake. While he was at the window, the figure got up from the bed. It stood between the two beds in front of the door, with its arms above its head. Parkins watched, feeling very afraid. He could not go past it to get to the door. "Has this ghost come because I blew the whistle?" Parkins thought. The figure began to move towards Parkins's bed, waving its arms in front of it. Parkins suddenly understood that it could not see. He watched it feel all around the bed and find that it was empty. Then it moved into the light of the moon, and he could see its horrible face. Parkins was terrified. One corner of its strange white clothes touched his own face, and he gave a loud cry. Hearing the cry, the figure jumped at Parkins and pushed him against the window. The window opened. The horrible face came closer and closer, and the terrified Parkins moved back. He was falling out of the window. At the last second, the door opened and Colonel Wilson ran in. But when he hurried to the two figures at the window, only Parkins was there. He was lying on the floor, and next to him there were just blankets and sheets. Colonel Wilson asked no questions. He put Parkins back into bed and slept in the other bed. In the morning, Colonel Wilson came out of the room carrying the whistle. He took it down to the sea and threw it a very long way into the water. Then he went back to the hotel and saw that a servant was carrying some blankets and sheets to a fire in the garden. The next day, Mr. Rogers arrived early from Cambridge, and Parkins was very happy to see him. From that day, he never wanted to go on holiday on his own again. His ideas about ghosts changed too. Seeing white sheets blowing on a washing line sometimes made him nervous, and a blanket on the back of a chair at night often stopped him sleeping.